1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8, if you want to follow along in your own Bibles. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also as one abnormally born.
Well, this is the most nerve-wracking bit for Chris, because he's going to come and share his story.
My name is Chris. I've been coming to church for almost all of my life. At first, I didn't actually know what church was about, so I only came because my parents made me and because Rob Booth would give me biscuits. And then, as I grew up, I started to realise what church was really about as I heard the stories of Jesus and his miracles. I met some of my best friends in church, who still are today, and together this helped me to believe in God. In primary, my friends were always putting pressure on me. I would always try to act like I was one of them. I didn't particularly want to tell them that I was a Christian because I thought at least that I would be pestered and bullied. So as time grew by, they had me swearing and generally being mean. I knew that I wanted this to stop, so I would try every day to pray to God about the problem. I had known that I would need help from God to do so. As I grew older, I started to pray to Jesus, hoping that he would hear me and that he would take control of my life. This has been helped onwards by my family every year, taking me to Spring Harvest. This is an annual event for all Christians to come to, and lots of entertainment for all. Every time I go there, I feel I can know that God is always by my side. This was a great place for me to encounter Jesus' presence. Today, I made my choice to start a new life and let God be my captain. I feel like giving my life to him will change my life completely. Looking forward, I want to be a better person than I have been in the last few years, with Jesus to help me. Thank you.
Fantastic. Great. Well, we've heard from Chris, but I want to talk to you all about mobile phones. So who's got a mobile phone? Yeah, pretty much all of you. Yeah. And who's got one of those smarter phones? Chris has put his hand up. So what's the coolest thing you can do on your phone? Talk to your neighbour for about 20 seconds. Right, and what's the coolest thing you can do on your phone? Okay, cut, right. Let's have some suggestions. Yeah. You can ring people. That's amazing. You can do that on your phone. I struggle to do that on my phone. Ring people we've got over there. Yep. Find Pokemon, yes. Yeah, so who has got Pokemon Go on their phone already? Yeah, okay. Did you know that this church is a Pokestop? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But not during the service. Okay, so yeah, this church focuses on the new game. It's a craze. Have you seen people walking around like this and then bumping into things? Because, someone fell off a cliff, I heard, because they were playing the game. Yeah, so your phone, you can do all kinds of cool things. What's your favourite messaging app? Yep. WhatsApp. So WhatsApp's still in vogue, isn't that a bit passé these days? That came out years ago. My granddad told me about WhatsApp. Okay, do you have infinite credit? Do you just text people? That's what I do. No, you got limited credit. Okay, so you use WhatsApp when you can get a signal, Wi-Fi, yeah, to do that. So, wonderful things, mobile phones. But the trouble is, they just bombard us with all this stuff. And so, wonderful as they are, you need to learn two important life lessons with your mobile phones, your tablets, your gadgets, and your technology. The first is that you must learn to filter. Because your phone will send loads of things at you all the time. Who on their phone has loads of notifications at the top? Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah, do you collect them? Do you try and make it so the whole screen is covered in notifications? Do you do that? I've seen people do that. Maybe you don't do that. But all the time it's pinging at you and blinking at you and getting bloop and stuff. And like last week I was listening to some music with a friend. And they were using their iPhone to play the music. And it was lovely, it was nice music. But every time they had a notification, the iPhone's very clever. It would play the music, then it would dim the music, play the bleep, and then bring the music back up. Okay? So we were listening to this music, and then every few minutes you'd have da-di-da-di-da-di-da, bloop, da-di-da-di-da-di-da, and then a few minutes later, da-di-da-di-da-da, bloop, da-di-da-di. And this went on and on and on, and I thought, we're not actually listening to the music here, we're listening to the bleeps. You must learn to filter. You must learn to know what is important that you need to read and act on, reply to, not going to look at anyone in particular here, and you must know what you can just ignore. See, the trouble is, some people do their filtering like this. What's the problem with that? You ignore everything. So you ignore the important stuff as well as the unimportant stuff. You've got to learn to tell the difference. You've got to know what you need and what you don't need. And as you go out onto the internet and you read blogs and you look at Twitter and all that stuff, you have to work out what is good and what is not good. What is helpful and what is unhelpful. What is important, what is not important. That's lesson number one that you need to do. Okay? Lesson number two, just as important. When you are communicating, when you are sending a message, a WhatsApp or a SMS or a tweet or whatever, you must learn to be crystal clear in your communicating. Sharp to the point. Because the person on the other end is filtering. And if you're not clear and to the point, they will filter out your message and they will not act on it. So you must learn to be absolutely crystal clear and to the point. If we can go to the next slide, please, Ollie. This is about filtering. This is about what comes at us and deciding what is good, what is not so good. And when we communicate, being absolutely to the point. Now, let me tell you about this guy called Paul. And he wrote lots of letters in what we now put together as what's called the Bible. And he wrote this letter to this group of people in Corinth, and they were called Corinthians. And he wrote loads of good stuff. It was really cool stuff. But he got to a point where he thought, I need to remind them of the single most important thing, and that's the good news about a man called Jesus Christ. And he thought, how can I write this as clearly, as succinctly as possible? Now tell me, guys, how many characters can you put in an SMS text? Do you know? There's a limit. Do you know? It's more than that. It's 160. Okay? How many characters can you put in a tweet? Do you know this? You're not very nerdy. Right? Look, it's 160 for an SMS. It's 140 for a tweet. This is a very important information. Do you know why it's less for a tweet than an SMS? For the address, that's right. 20 characters are reserved for the handle, for the username. So, imagine you have got to put the good news about Jesus in just 160 or 140 characters. Well, Paul did it in two verses. Inside the passage that Anna read, there were eight verses there. Two of those had what I call the crown jewels, the absolute to the point good news about Jesus, verse 3 and 4. In my English translation, that's 205 characters. That's not going to fit in an SMS message. Okay? So you have to summarize the good news of Jesus Christ, and you've got to get it in less than what it says in verse 3 and 4, less than 205 characters. You've got 30 seconds. Off you go. Quick, 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 quick. Come on, the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you do it? I see people are counting characters on their fingers now. Now you're becoming nerds. That's good. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, time's up. 50 characters. What have you got then? Yeah, but what? Here's the way to truth of life. Very good. Yeah, very good. Anyone else got something? Yeah, which is? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Yeah, so, and? Jesus is our salvation. Yeah. So I had a look at verse 3 and 4 in the passage that Anna read, and I thought I can retranslate this into text speak, and this is what I came up with. Next slide, please, Ollie. It goes, dig this. Jesus died because our bad, well, dead, but raised to life, God's plan. That's 77 characters, so it fits nicely in an SMS message. That's the good news, right there. Now, Paul expanded it a bit because he wanted to let people know that people had seen Jesus alive. So verse 5 forwards has more stuff going on. So next slide, please, Ollie. You might want to add, yes, really alive, many seen him, me too. Okay? That's the good news right there. And it's about Jesus. And it's about the fact that he died. And Paul stresses that he really did die. This was no fake. He was well dead. He really did die. But, and this but is of absolute crucial importance, he was well dead, but he didn't stay dead. He became alive again. He was raised to life. And that was no fake either. People saw him. Loads of people saw him. And Paul encountered him for himself. Because raised life was about Jesus. What he'd done, he died. Didn't stay dead. Alive again. People met with him. And you can meet with him too. That encounter is all important. But the encounter is one side of the deal. The other side is each of us realizing that we need him. Realizing that yes, we do have bad. That our bad applies to us and we need him. Jesus is coming towards us. He has already done everything that's necessary. He has already died and he is alive again. We recognize that. And say, Jesus, I need you. And he will meet with us. He will become our brother, as the youth selected on one of those cards. And he will not leave us. He will not desert us. We meet with him. And that's what we heard in Chris's story. You see, Chris has lived in many ways a sheltered life. And he's been going, he's in secondary school now, but in primary school he went to this lovely primary school, wonderful staff there, and it's all very good. And so he could have said, yes, I had a nice life and it was all okay and fine and dandy. But actually, he realised that something wasn't quite right. That something wasn't right, that he needed God. And he also knew just enough, maybe through coming here, his parents taking him to Christian events like Spring Harvest or whatever, just enough that calling on God might be the answer. And that's recognizing your need of God. And Jesus is coming towards us and he will meet, as he has met with Chris, and Chris has had some kind of encounter with Jesus for himself, and the two come together. All his bad is already dealt with because Jesus has already died, well dead. But it doesn't stop there because Jesus is alive again, and so he can encounter Chris and each of us and we can live with him. That's the story. That's the good news right there in a nutshell, in just a few characters. And so this morning he's going to be baptized. And that itself tells the good news in a simple drama of getting wet. Because what's happened is we lower him into the water, totally submerged. That's acting out death. Going down into the water. Death. Because Jesus has died. Well dead. His bad is dealt with in Jesus dying. But here's the thing, when you turn to Jesus, you realize that Jesus died, he took the consequences. He took the rap for what was coming to you. And you think, I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to be that person who creates those consequences that Jesus has already dealt with. I want to be different. And so your own old life dies as well. Down in the water, submerged, glug, glug, glug. And of course, we hold him down. His brother and sister have paid me lots of money, so that we hold him down for a really long time. But eventually, he does come back up. Raised to new life. Because Jesus is alive today. And so, going down talks of death, coming back up talks of new life. Jesus is alive. Chris can start a new life following Jesus. So in the pool, we act it out in a simple drama. But fundamentally, it's about that encounter with Jesus. And that's what we tell our youth leaders, the people who work with our young people and do the groups and run various activities and stuff. We say, absolutely, first and foremost, top line, headline agenda, big, bold heading, it's about encounter with Jesus. We want each and every one of our young people to have their own encounter with Jesus. Because we recognize that in here in the church family with all our friends and doing all good stuff and groups and stuff, it's all wonderful. But somehow, it may be that you miss the point. You could be in the most wonderful church family like Chris's. I mean, his family is so church family. I reckon they've got the church logo embroidered on their underpants. I haven't checked this theory, but I reckon this could be the case. But even in that scenario, you could hear about Jesus, you could hear the stories, and you could understand what church is about and all that, but you could still miss having your own encounter with Jesus. And that would be a tragedy. So for our young people, for all of us, our prayer is that each and every single one would have their own encounter with Jesus, realizing that their bad is already dealt with in Jesus having died and is now alive again. So the challenge for you, the challenge for all of us, is are you open to that? Do you realize you're bad and your need for God. As if you do and you open to him, you will discover, yes, he is alive. And that you can meet with him too. And you can have your own encounter with Jesus. Chris, you can all sit down. Chris, if you'd like to join me at the front here. Just going to ask you a few questions about your faith. Very easy. Best answer is, I do. Do you believe, Chris, in one God who we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you now turn to Christ, leaving behind an old life? And do you plan to follow Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Cool. Well, then, come and be baptized.
If the kids want to come and gather around and sit up the front. Can I come up now? Hello. Thank you for sitting near me. Great. Cool. Okay, so who has had a sports day recently? Yeah, you guys. You had one. Did anybody win anything at their sports day? Yeah? What did you win? The skipping race. That's really good. Josh, what did you win? High jump. Wow. What are you saying?
I was in the running.
The running race. Anybody else do a running race? Yeah, that's really good. I was never good at sprinting. Could do long distance, but doing sprinting was not the thing that I'd do on sports day. I would not win if I did it. So who here goes to a sports club or trains as part of a team? Yeah. What sports do you do? Swimming? Yeah? Running? Swimming as well. That's great. So when I'm at university, on Wednesday mornings I go to a breakfast for something called Christians in Sport. And while we're there, we sit, and it's great because we sometimes get bacon, get crumpets, and even though it's early, it's 8 a.m, which is early for a student. But that's right. And so while we're there, We talk about our sport and then we discuss how we can share our faith with the people that we're doing our sport with. And so we've got a quick three-word sort of saying that we have that reminds us what we'd like to do to share our faith, and that is pray, play, and say. And so we pray that we will be able to share our faith with our teammates and that they'd give us opportunities to discuss that with them. And then we play in a way that honours God. And then we want to say what we believe. So some examples of that are that at the start of the session, we pray for two or three teammates. So I've been praying specifically this year for my friend Sophie and for my friend Susie, that we'd have opportunities to talk about my faith. And then an example for play is there was a clip that we got shown at Christians in Sport, and it was of two people playing tennis. And so the guy on the opposite side of the course, he serves the ball, hits it. The other guy doesn't hit it back, and it bounces on the line, and the ref says, it's okay, the ball's out. And the guy that had missed the ball, he puts his hand up and he says, you can challenge that. And the other guy says, really? He says, yeah, you can challenge that, it was out. And so the other player takes his word for it, and he says, okay, ref, was it in, was it out? And the ref, they do, you know, they do the slow motion play. And the ball had been in. And he didn't have to do that. That was really good sportsmanship, actually, because he'd just given that point away to the opposition. And that's the sort of thing that we want to do. We want to be playing in an honest way. And then the final one is that we say what we believe. And the adults were talking in here about being quick and concise when we're telling about Jesus. And an example of that is when you're playing sport, maybe you only have a couple of minutes before you run onto the pitch to play your game. Maybe it's while you're stood around the edge of the trampoline and waiting for your turn. Maybe you only get 2 or 3 minutes to have a discussion about your faith. But yeah, we just really want to take those opportunities. So a challenge for you guys is that maybe you can recognise that God's gifted you with talents. Maybe it's your sport, maybe it's something creative, and you go to an art class or something like that. But God is interested in the talents he's given you, and the sports you can play, and the hobbies that you have. And he'd love for you to share him when you're doing that. So let's have a quick prayer. So Father God, thank you that you've given us interests and passions and talents. Maybe that's sport, maybe that's something creative. I pray that you would help us to use them in a way that shows our friends what we believe, and in a way that glorifies you. Amen.
Thank you, Anna. I'll take that. Thank you. So, at this point, we share with Chris different things that we feel God would want to say to him on this day that he was baptized. There's a card for you here, Chris. And when I was praying for you, this verse came to mind. It's another of Paul writing a letter business, this time to the Ephesians. And it's chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. Now, you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Being saved is not a reward for good things we have done. So it is not something we can be big-headed about. That's my translation. Again, coming in there. And I also felt that God would want you to stand up for him. That's a word for you. Now, Carol Metcalf has sent something in. She couldn't be here this morning, so she's sent something in using email. Remember that. She says, Chris, you're an inspiration not only to your peers, your friends, but to the wider church family. We've seen how your faith has deepened over time. It's a joy to see how you engage in all aspects of church life. Being baptized is an act of obedience, and you've chosen to be obedient to God, and that pleases him. As a church family, we'll support you by praying for you in this new stage of your faith, and we'll be thinking of you on Sunday morning. And when Carol writes that, she really does mean that. And so be blessed by that. Anyone else would like to share something for Chris? Yeah, please.
Thank you. It's a bit from Isaiah. It says, I've sort of praised it as well. Though the wrong things you have done may seem like ketchup on the tablecloth, God can make the cloth of your life white again. follow him and receive his forgiveness. And that's for all of us, actually. But also, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Good, thank you. Helen might like that, about ketchup being washed away. So anyone else would like to share? Raise your arm high in the air so I can see you all. Going. Great, thank you, Dawn.
This is a verse that I had for you this morning when I was praying. God picked you out as his from the very start. God not only loves you very much, but has also put his hand on you for something special. And that's in the message I've written in your card.
Last call for sharing. Great, wonderful. Let's stand together and sing our closing song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Oh,
So go from this place learning to bless the Lord in good times and in difficult, because he is with us. Next door, there's tea and coffee and cake. So do go through. Remember, if you've got young children, best to take them through. We will put covers back on, but we would rather children don't come back in here. Obviously, there's lots of water and danger and all that stuff. Thank you. Bless the Lord as you go.